Conversations About the Inevitable by Power Grapes. Read by Twezadark. Fandom, Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles. Rating PG-13. Description: John and Cameron on Sarah and Derek. And Kyle. Don't forget about Kyle.
What are you talking about?
You said it was inevitable. How did you know?
I just did. I'm not blind. Nor bitter. At least, he's trying not to be.
Did she tell you?
John snorted derisively.
No. Thank God, no.
He did then. Or you heard.
No and no. With particularly thanks to that last part, John never, ever wanted to hear any part of anything that had to do with his mother and his uncle.
Then how did you know?
She was nothing if not persistent. Robots did that. He looked at her, the too human-looking machine with non-human comprehension, at those inquisitive eyes. Who the fuck built her like this?
Cameron eats even though she doesn't have to. She was eating string cheese. It amused him to watch her peel off slim strands of mozzarella with dainty fingers. It scared him to know that these dainty fingers had ended the lives of dozens of people. This wasn't a conversation he wanted to have. But because she's Cameron, a ruthless, fearless killing machine who's demurely nibbling away at processed dairy, he told her.
It's the way they look at each other. When they talk to each other and stand a little closer than they have to, you can tell, you can feel it. But of course she can't. Not Cameron. It's easy to forget that sometimes.
I know you can't tell.
Cameron wasn't offended. Why would she be? She's just a machine.
You hate it, she said.
It's also easy to forget that sometimes machines see more than you give them credit for.
No, John said, then admitting, I don't hate it, I just...
He trailed off, but she said nothing. She knew he'd talk.
My mom's been alone, and it's not like it's easy for her to meet guys. Hi, I'm Sarah Connor, wanted fugitive. By the way, my son's the savior of mankind, so some killer cyborgs from the future might try to dismember us from time to time.
It's not a great icebreaker. Then there's Derek, and it's not so complicated with him. And they see each other every day, and she trusts him.
And he reminds her of your father.
Well, there was that.
One of the things that he liked about Cameron was that she was direct and to the point. Then he remembered that she's only like that because she's a computer that doesn't know how to fake tact. He wondered what that said about him.
I wouldn't know, he replied.
He looks like your father.
I wouldn't know, he said again, the edge seeping into his tone.
Yeah, he knew what Kyle Reese looked like, as a 4-year-old.
I do. He looks like your father.
How do you know? I thought you guys were reprogrammed after each mission.
She shrugged, popped the last bit of string cheese in her mouth, then asked, Are you worried about her? And John was still young enough, wrapped up in his own teenage drama enough, to let himself be distracted.
No, my mom can take care of herself. He's the one who'd be in trouble.
Even at 16, when he was still unfamiliar with the complexities of romantic entanglements, he knew that much. Sarah wouldn't be the one to walk away with a broken heart. He couldn't articulate it yet. It was too uncomfortable, too raw. But somewhere inside, deep down, he knew that he was the only one capable of breaking Sarah's heart. She would never allow anybody else to matter that much to her.
Derek's great, John said. You know, he's family. He's the closest I'll ever come to knowing my dad.
He tried not to sound bitter, but it wasn't very effective.
I should be happy. We're one big, happy family now. The Connors. Mommy, Daddy, son, and robot bodyguard.
Then what? She prodded.
I don't know.
That was true. If he knew, he would have told her. He wasn't shy or embarrassed. He trusted Cameron. He could talk to her even though she didn't understand what he was feeling half the time. Hell, he could talk to her because she didn't understand. She never judged. She never spouted useless platitudes. She just listened. Listened and tried to understand. If you couldn't tell Cameron, you couldn't tell anybody. He told her just about everything, except, of course, for the dreams. The ones in which she wore skimpy uniforms and left him feeling awkward in the morning. "I should be happy," he repeated. "I should be happy." Like a mantra that might be true enough if he said it enough times. "You didn't mind Charlie Dixon," Cameron said. "No," he admitted. "I liked Charlie. Loved him, even. And if only Sarah had never made them leave..." No, it didn't do any good to think like that. "You didn't mind Charlie Dixon," Cameron said, "because he wasn't a threat." "Derek's not a threat." Dixon was on the outside. It was okay as long as he would never intrude. "Derek's too close. He's a Reese. You've spent as much time thinking of yourself as John Reese as you do John Connor. He's almost your father, but he's not. He's a surrogate. He's not Kyle Reese. He'll never be Kyle Reese. But he's enough like him to make you think that maybe he would replace him." He gawked at her. "Where the hell do you get this shit?" Not because it was absurd, but because she shouldn't have the capacity to understand these things. He didn't, and he was actually human. Human attachments are only complicated to the people who have them. On some level, he supposed that was true. Bystanders tended to be more perceptive than those in the midst, and Cameron will always be a bystander. In some ways, he thought, she's like my personal compass. She would be able to see things that he can't, even if she truly couldn't comprehend it. "I never even knew him, just the idea of him. It doesn't make any sense to miss an idea of somebody," John said, and this time Cameron couldn't help him. "Not even a sophisticated artificial intelligence cyborg can help people make sense of their feelings." Then suddenly he's not just an idea, some intangible thing. With Derek around, he's more real, somehow. "But the more I know about him, the harder it is to accept that I won't ever know him. Yeah, I'll meet him one day, but it won't be the same by then. I'll be older. He'll be a kid. It's frustrating, you know?" It was rhetorical, of course, a habitual phrase. "Yes, I understand." "Really?" "No," she replied, "but it's what people say." He had to laugh at that. For all of her startling perceptions and excellent mimicking, Cameron was still just nuts and bolts, circuits and wires. In the same bizarre way he couldn't explain, her efforts only made her more endearing. He could tell that she didn't entirely understand why he was laughing, but she smiled along with him. She always used to tell me that in the few hours they had together, they loved a lifetime's worth, he now said wistfully, his momentary amusement having dissipated. He couldn't help adding, apparently not her lifetime's worth. She wouldn't forget him, Cameron replied. Human episodic memories do not become automatically displaced by new formations. Is that your way of telling me that he'll never replace my dad in my mom's heart? John asked dryly. I don't know, Cameron said truthfully. That was something she couldn't understand. Yeah, he sighed softly. Me either. They heard the distant ringing of the school bell, a call to the end of the period. Crumpling their leftovers in paper brown bags, the pair rose to their feet. She brushed her hand against his shirt, dusting away stray blades of grass. Together, they headed back towards the school. As they did, he turned to her and said with trace amounts of despondence, "It was inevitable, anyway." End. If you enjoyed this story, please leave the author feedback. You can contact the author through this story's post at amplificathon.livejournal.com. Recorded in April 2008.